What is going on, Met fans? Welcome to another episode of our New York Mets podcast. This is our first series recap of 2024. The Mets just dropped a series, get swept, actually, at home to the Milwaukee Brewers. If there was ever a series, a set of three games that both teams just looked like they were on opposite ends, it was exactly this series, okay? And how fitting, we don't see Milwaukee again to the very end of the season. Hopefully by then, the Mets would have figured things out and play a little more cleaner than they did these first three games. We can talk about a lot of things about what the Mets did wrong because, you know, that the magnifying glass is on the Mets. But also, we should talk about what the Milwaukee Brewers did so well. And when I talk about a series that both teams were on opposite ends, you know, we could start off with defense. The Mets' defense was not sound. There were some errors. There were some balls that they should have gotten. And when you look at the Milwaukee Brewers, they played excellent defense. I mean, their defense was really, really good. That infield did a great job. And Terang seemed like he was just scooping up everything that came his way. I think 16 chances the Brewers had in this series. And they, you know, they came away with a... with 100% fielding percentage in this series. They were really that good. Even Jackson Chirios in, I think I pronounced his name right, out in right field, he made some pretty good plays. They're one of six teams that are currently, you know, perfect in fielding percentage. So, you know, hats off to the Milwaukee Brewers. And then when you look at what the lineups did, this is really the part that kind of gets to me a little bit. The Milwaukee Brewers were pretty opportunistic. They played small ball. They ran the bases well, first to third. They showed speed. They stole bases. They did a lot of the little things to control the game. They were able to get on base. The Mets did not get on base very well in this series. The one thing that really, really stuck out to me with the Mets lineup is their count management, okay? So, I don't even know where to start. I want to start with a specific player, but I'm not going to go there yet. But on Saturday, the Mets started their at-bats with an 0-2 count 12 times. That's a lot. That's a lot. On Friday, they started counts, 0-2 counts, 5 times. On Saturday, 12. That's way too much. On Sunday, they had 8 at-bats where they swung at the second pitch and recorded an out. So they're not even working the counts at all. So you're giving these pitchers low pitch counts. We're not giving ourselves any chance. I don't understand what the philosophy of the Mets lineup, what their approach is. I think this falls on the players at this point. And one specific player is Jeff McNeil. He's really, I've grown to dislike Jeff McNeil's game. I think Jeff McNeil is a pretty solid player. A lot of versatility. Can play the outfield, third base, second base. Was the batting champ. But lately, I don't know if the golf has gotten into him or what's going on with Jeff McNeil. I've always said that with Jeff McNeil, it's between the ears. That's where the problem lays right there, between the ears. In game 3 on Sunday, where the Mets lost 4-1, and we're trying to salvage the series and at least win one game, Jeff McNeil, your number 4 hitter, he hit 4th in game one and then today in game three. In his first at bat, how many pitches do you think he saw? 2. His second at bat, how many pitches do you think he saw? Another 2. His third at bat, how many pitches do you think he saw? Another 2. And his fourth and final at bat on Sunday, how many pitches do you think he saw? 1. That is a total of 7 pitches that he saw on Sunday. I'm sorry, but if Jeff McNeil is going to bat fourth or anywhere in the lineup for that matter, he cannot be looking at just 7 pitches all game long. This is a guy that's supposed to hit for average. You want to stick him in the fourth spot after Pete Alonso? If this guy is not going to take pitches and be a little more selective, then there is no way I fault David Stearns, I fault Carlos Mendoza, whoever's making this lineup, I fault that person for batting Jeff McNeil fourth. You cannot do that at all. So, you know, I don't want to single out Jeff McNeil because, you know, the top of the lineup hasn't produced aside from Pete Alonso. Lindor hasn't hit well. Nimmo hasn't hit well so far. These one runs a game is not going to cut it. These low scoring games is just not going to cut it. So I hate to single out McNeil. Everybody's at fault here. But Jeff McNeil has a history of doing this and not being patient enough. The top of the lineup needs to get it together. But I'm sorry, if you're going to hit Jeff McNeil fourth in the lineup, you cannot have this guy seeing just 2.7 pitches per plate appearance. No, that's not going to work. 7 pitches he saw today. 7. Think about that for a minute. Your number 4 hitter has to be a whole lot more selective. I expect this maybe from, you know, someone like Francisco Alvarez, who is a little more aggressive and, you know, he's wanting to hit the home run every single time. That's who I expect this from, not from Jeff McNeil. So he needs to clean that up. I think the Mets really need to get into this guy's head and change his approach because it is broken. It is broken. He's barreled up 0%. This was something that I spoke about on what I want to see, you know, my expectations from Jeff McNeil for this season. And that was one of the things that I wanted to see, him square up on the ball a little better. Jeff McNeil has not seen a 2-2 or 3-0 count yet this season. Now I understand it's only 3 games, 11 at-bats. The season's still young. But that is not something that is inspiring. That is actually something that is deflating. You know what inspiring is? Inspiring is seeing Brett Beatty come up to a bat on Saturday in a pinch hit situation with 2 runners on and first pitch, foul, 3-run home run. Inspiration is seeing Francisco Alvarez hustle home from second base on a single. The slide was very poor today, but still, he hustled. That's inspiration. Jeff McNeil does not provide that. If anything, he provides deflation. It deflates the team. So I know there's a lot of Jeff McNeil lovers out there. I love Jeff McNeil too. I repeat myself. I think he is a valuable player to the Mets and can be on any team for that matter. But facts are facts, and I just gave you numbers, and I think we've seen this in the past 2, 3, 4 years, that Jeff McNeil is just, he gets inside of his head too much, and his at-bats are very telling. I don't mean to single out Jeff McNeil, but he has a history of doing this. Again, if Jeff McNeil's going to bat fourth, he cannot be looking at just 7 pitches, 2 pitches every at bat. You just can't do that. Absolutely not. inspiring. Francisco Alvarez, through three games, he's batting 500. I think he's 5 for 10. One home run, two RBIs. He's looked very comfortable at the plate, a little more relaxed. Brett Beatty, again, I just mentioned, came in, pinch hit Saturday. Hit that huge three-run home run. So that is good to see. He misplayed a ball today. He didn't know if he wanted to jump or what, and the baseball got away from him. I think he had an error on Friday, I think. I can't remember, or a misplayed ball. The Mets really got to find a way to have a better approach overall in the when they're up at bat. They can't be having games where they only score 1, 2, 3 runs. It's not going to cut it. This team is falling behind the 8-ball too early. It happened Friday. When was it? The comeback. It was Saturday. Right? Can't be losing games like that. They're just putting themselves in a really bad spot too early in games. And it doesn't help. This team is not made for comebacks. It's not. And it's the players. It's the players at this point. Because they just get deflated. They get deflated and then they want to wake up at the very end. I don't understand it. Some positive signs, because it was a pretty ugly series from the Mets. It really, really was. Positive signs, Drew Smith. He came in Friday, 4 up, 4 down in a high leverage situation. I was real nervous. But it was good to see. He's threw 16 pitches when he came in on Friday. Pitched an inning and a third. So that's positive. We need Drew Smith to be really good. We know he likes to serve him up. So we need him in the pen. I'm not really too worried about the pen. I think David Stearns has done a pretty good job of putting together this bullpen. Another positive sign, Pete Alonso, 0 strikeouts through the first 3 games. Again, I know it's just 3 games, but we got to start somewhere. The hits that Pete has gotten, they haven't been hit hard, but they've been finding holes. So that's good to see. Maybe Pete hits for a high average this year, maybe close to 300, 280, 285. Yeah, if he does that, I'll be more than happy. On to some depressing news. Tylor McGill made his first start of the season on Sunday. 4 innings pitch, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, not ideal, 4 strikeouts. It wasn't his best outing. It wasn't his worst outing. The command was not there. Got himself out of jams. But again, we keep putting ourselves, the Mets put themselves in behind the 8-ball. He did a good job of getting out of jams. But you can't be doing it. Not when you're giving us 4 innings of work, you can't be doing it, every inning. Like, can we have some clean innings pitched? John Gibbons was the acting manager today, since Carlos Mendoza was suspended for a game. And he mentioned that Tylor McGill came out, tenderness in his shoulder. He will undergo a precautionary MRI. So I wouldn't expect Tylor McGill to make that next start. Does this open up a possibility for Jose Buto to get called up and make that start? I forgot who mentioned it on Twitter. I would give them credit, but I cannot remember at the moment. But Tylor McGill's next start would be against Cincinnati, which would, I think Buto made his start on Saturday, and they would line him up exactly to to when Tyler McGill would make his next start. So I think it would make sense to see Buddha, especially since in spring training, the competition for that, you know, for that last spot on the rotation basically came down to those two. I would just be very cautionary with Tyler McGill. I would not rush it. I mean, even if the MRI comes back clean, you give him, you know, you give him some extra rest, plain and simple. This is why you got these guys down in the minors for situations like this. So Tyler McGill, he's going to undergo a precautionary MRI, and we'll see what happens with that. I'm sure we'll get some more news on Monday. What else? Not a lot of positives from this weekend. Johan Ramirez, obviously, he threw at Rhys Hoskins, suspended 3 games. I get it. I know it's standard for the pitcher to get 3 games, but I don't think it was warranted. You already threw him out the game. I don't think, you know, we were down, what, 4 runs at that point. I mean, you could argue that it was intentional, but how do the umpires, how does baseball know that? They don't. But the situation, I guess, makes it seem like it was intentional. Carlos Mendoza, as I mentioned earlier, suspended 1 game. I don't understand. Of course, if MLB thinks it's intentional, then the manager gets thrown out. But I mean, I didn't understand Carlos Mendoza getting 1 game either. Look, the Mets are going to have to clean it up, because now you get the Detroit Tigers coming into Citi Field. We struggled against the Tigers last year. We keep struggling against the Brewers. The Tigers are 3-0. They're going to have to find a way to really win these games. The Tigers are not a great team, but I feel like they're on the up and coming. And you got to find a way to beat these teams. Hats off to the, you know, Lindor with the hats off, I'm going to say it too. But you got to give your hat off to the Milwaukee Brewers. They played a really good series. Like, they put it all together. So, again, it was a series that showed two teams on opposite sides. Plain and simple. That's really what it came down to. They showed up to play. They were prepared. They hit when it count. The Brewers made the base running moves when it counted. They went to first and third and made it count. The Mets didn't do that. And that was pretty much the story of this weekend for the Mets. They're going to have to figure it out. We can't sit here and say, oh, we're going to wait for J.D. Martinez. They need to figure it out right now. Nimmo, Lindor, they need to figure it out at the top. The Mets need to figure out what to do with Jeff McNeil and where to hit him. The number 4 spot is not going to work. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know your thoughts. The Mets drive is crazy, but you know what? We're still going to watch. We're still going to listen to the games. We're going to sit on the couch every night, and we're going to watch and play, plain and simple. That's all I got for this episode. Look, I appreciate you guys tuning in. This was the opening weekend series recap between the New York Mets and the Milwaukee Brewers. The Mets start the season 0-3. The last time we started 0-3 was in 2014. We got swept by the Nationals on opening day weekend. Let's see how the Mets turn this thing around, because, you know, we can say there's still 159 to go, but you need the wins now. This team has to win now. They can't wait till later in the season, because the fans are going to get really, really impatient, and they're going to let the players hear it. So the team needs to really get on the high horse and start doing something at the plate, especially in the lineup. I didn't touch on the pitching too much. I mentioned the the bullpen. Not too worried about the bullpen. Severino, he didn't look all that great. Fastball looked good. The off-speed stuff didn't look really all there. Quintana actually, I think, looked better than Severino did. The problem with Quintana is that fastball is not fast enough. And on top of that, that Brewers offense didn't chase a lot. Like, Quintana threw a lot of pitches in the dirt, low and away. The Brewers offense was just very disciplined. So, again, shout out to them. I know Mets fans don't want to hear that, right? They want to hear all the negative stuff, but, I mean, you got to give credit. It goes both ways, hand in hand. Quintana didn't pitch terrible. It's just that the Brewers lineup was just a little better, a little more patient, a little more disciplined. And that's what the Mets did not do. That's what the Mets need to do. So against a team like the Tigers, they're not an elite team by any means. You should be able to take 2 out of 3 from the Detroit Tigers. No offense to the Tigers. So we'll see what happens. Again, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. Look, I'm not going to give you... I'm a trendsetter. I'm not going to sit here and follow anyone else. This is my own lane. And like I told somebody on Twitter on Saturday, I will talk to a brick wall about the New York Mets. I don't care if I'm talking to myself. I just want to talk New York Mets. That's it. That's all I want to do. And I'm going to give you things from a different angle. We're going to talk about different things. We're not going to talk about the same shit everybody else is talking about. No shots to anyone. Everyone does their thing, whatever, you know. This is my lane. Hopefully you enjoy listening to me. I know I can come off a little bit like a dick sometimes, but it's all in fun. It's all in love. So hopefully you guys enjoy this Mets talk, this Mets Brewers series recap. And look, we'll recap the next one. Later.